It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by Gemma Konecka. She's back.
I am back. I have returned.
I tried to fire
from outer
her.
Space.
I was informed that I don't have that power. Also joining us from beautiful scenic Reno, Nevada is, of course, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Thank you for being here, Jess.
Well, thank you for, and I could never imagine firing Gemma. I would cry before she would.
Thank you, Jess. I came back because Jake's dad ran up the stairs to my house and yelled, "Attack today!" And now I'm back.
Yeah, it inspired you to return. Yeah. I know for me, it's there were people who were tweeting us asking where you were, so... Clearly, you're the more popular
sweet.
Member of the podcast. My feelings were only slightly hurt. It's
I think there was a Where's Dakota tweet in there, text in there, whatever, when you were gone.
Was there?
One. I'm going to search
tweet
the hashtag.
Tweet at me.
They're all going to be about Dakota Fanning, though.
they probably are. But we have a lot to get to today. It's been quite the week in baseball. Rafael Devers, my son, he had himself a game. One of our own writers, Christopher Landers, took a trip to the patent office and came back with some interesting information. And then, of course, Little League World Series is right around the corner, and we will break down what we would be like if we were Little League World Series players. But before we get to all of that, Giancarlo Stanton, member of the Miami Marlins, parentheses for now, question mark, is apparently... the greatest baseball player in the world. He is heading into play on Wednesday. He had homered in 6 games in a row. The most recent came during the 3rd inning of Tuesday's Giants-Marlins game. It was quite the home run. Let's take a listen to the call.
Stanton's fires and Stanton to left.
So guys, before he hit that home run, which was quite the home run, on Monday he actually hit his 43rd home run, which gave him the record for the most hit in a single season for a member of the Marlins. He's the hottest guy in baseball right now, both metaphorically and literally. what do you guys think about the, I wouldn't call it a resurgence, don't call it a comeback because he's been here all along, but like he's dominated the conversation in baseball. Jess, what is your first thought on all of these Giancarlo Stanton dingers?
I think it's great, and it's weird because, you know, I've written so many posts on him probably in the last couple of weeks because he constantly keeps doing something, and it's almost overwhelming, like, oh, yeah, make sure you add this little nugget in or that little nugget in. I'm like, this guy has so many chicken nuggets, I can't keep up. So it's just, like, it's always something new, and I love it. And it's weird because, like you mentioned, it's not like, you know, the Britney Spears comeback, but it's almost something where it's like he's always been there, but then I feel like there was so much coverage on Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger and all these other guys. So, but Giancarlo has always been there. So it's kind of nice where it's not necessarily a comeback, but it's like, oh, he's back to where we always, the way that we fell in love with him. So yeah, at the moment, I think he's the best player in baseball. And I think it's, you have to use the term at the moment very, very strongly because, you know, it's constantly changing and everything like that. But he's just been a blast to watch.
Yeah, I do think the best player in baseball changes weekly, but yeah. It's a title that everybody passes among each other. But I like the way that you describe it as being like, oh, that's right, we all love Giancarlo.
It
sort of happened, I think, a bit in the Derby. It kind of like reminded everybody why we love Giancarlo, and he's just continued to rake since then. Gemma, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he has been, as you said, just a literal blast. So just don't look
we
at me like that.
We have all the jokes
don't
on the Cup
Forecast. Like yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's also just because he's been injured. He's had injuries that have prevented us from seeing him as much as we would have liked to, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to finally have this time to be like, oh, yeah, when exactly like you said, it's how we first fell in love with Giancarlo. And then, you know, a lot of things happened so that he couldn't be on the field all the time. We're like, oh, this is what we all have been waiting for all the time, always. We just dinger in every game. This is our dream, and it's coming true, and it's very beautiful. Like, Giancarlo himself.
He is a beautiful man.
Yes. I remember when he did that Sports Illustrated body paint thing, and
yes.
the makeup artist just described him as a Miami god the entire time.
Why is that not on the back of his Players Weekend jersey?
Yeah, what is on the back of his Players Weekend jersey?
I don't know.
Mike?
It's the artist formerly known as Mike.
Yeah. That would be good.
It's worth noting he has 252 home runs thus far in his career. He's actually never hit below 20, even in the season in which he played 74 games, which is 2015. He actually hit 27 that year.
Wow.
He leads the league in home runs now. And, I think a couple weeks ago, if you'd asked people who led the league in home runs, they'd have said Aaron Judge, even though it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a complete and utter terror in the game. And you're right. And he's also an extremely attractive man. Is he the most attractive member of the Miami Marlins?
Of the Miami Marlins? Yeah. Almost certainly. Yeah. Yes. I would say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. D. Gordon.
D. Gordon
is cute.
Boer's performance at the Home Run Derby was kind of amazing. Like, a guy that's going to eat a donut in the middle of an at-bat. Like, I'm like, you're awesome. So that kind of, stood up. But yeah, you can't argue with that. And you know how, even men are like, he's a good-looking dude. And you have no problem to say that. Yeah, but Miami God, for sure, I could see it. He looks like he just walks around being, Miami-ish. If that's even an adjective, he just is.
Remember when he went to Egypt and, just was, dressed up as a pharaoh for some reason?
Right.
It was like, oh, this is just, I don't even think that. I was like, yep, that seems right. I don't know.
Are we sure his nickname isn't Magic Giancarlo?
Ooh.
His nickname, I just looked it up, is actually Cruz.
Cruz.
Because it's part of his middle name.
It should be Mike.
It should be Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from Giancarlo, because it's getting a little hot in this studio. Rafael Devers hit a home run off Aroldis Chapman. That happened in the top of the ninth inning of Sunday's game against the Red Sox. Yankees fans, they were feeling pretty confident. Aroldis Chapman is a great relief pitcher. He doesn't ever give up home runs. And so, everybody was looking. They were like, oh, it's good. This is good. We're the Yankees. This is what we do. We close out against the Red Sox. And then with two strikes against Rafael Devers, he took him yard. He hit a home run. And most importantly of all, one intrepid Yankees fan filmed his reaction for us to hear.
Let's go right here. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
So, there's a lot I have to say about this video. First of all, the gentleman, the star of the video, thanks to him for filming himself. A lot of people, I know that I worry about this when I'm at a game, and I'm a Red Bull season ticket holder. That's soccer for those of you who don't care about
soccer.
And
who don't realize that this podcast is Kick 4.
Yeah, this is also a soccer time. Yeah. And my friend who I have season tickets with, Elisa, she always tries to film when it looks like there might be a goal, on a set piece or something like that, because she wants the excitement. I always feel like that's a jinx. And so this guy filming himself, when I was at the David Ortiz Grand Slam and ALCS game in 2013, I had my phone in my hand and I was like, should I video this? And I was like, I don't want to jinx it by videoing it, so I'm going to put my phone away in my pocket. And I only regret it slightly. But so shout out to this guy for being confident enough to film himself. That's point one. Point two that I want to make. Also, right. this has become like a Fox Sports talk show where I'm just going to rant. The second thing I want to point out is if you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see this gentleman's video. Over his right shoulder, there is a woman who is heartbroken by this home run. Totally heartbroken and frozen in stone as though she peered upon Medusa. Gemma, I want your take on this video.
Well, I love this video because it starts with just such ebullient confidence. This guy's just like, yeah, my team is great. This is so much fun. I'm about to record my extremely excited, happy reaction when we finally win. And I just don't think that I have ever seen such real emotion captured on camera as his reaction when the ball goes out. His face, when people metaphorically say someone's face falls, but this guy's face, literally, it looks like everything melts. It just sinks to the bottom, and he's so sad. And the beginning of the video is really loud. Everyone's really exciting, and everyone's yelling a lot. And then the home run happens, and just nothing, just silence. Breathing. You don't even hear anyone booing or yelling. No. Just like just quiet sadness. It's really incredible. It's really, it's just a, it's the more real than any reality TV has ever been. It's so good.
It's the emotional honesty, though.
Yes.
Like, just
yes.
What stuck out to you about the video?
Well, my favorite thing to do is, like, in the stills, is, like, look at, like, everybody behind him. And you mentioned the girl that was accidentally photobombing in the Yankees hat. But if you really go into it, there's a guy looking up to the baseball god saying, WTF. And then there's, like, another guy looking at him like, bro, did that really just happen? And then you have the guy that's with the Yankees fan like, I'm so sorry that we both had to witness this. Because he's, like, holding him like, I'm so sorry. And, you know, everybody has, like, a certain type of mentality in each one of these, you know, still frames. And it's beautiful. Because it's like, wow, you know, and you know, the term "there's no crying in baseball" is so untrue. It literally makes me cry every other day. So like, we've all been there, right? So I kind of love it. Like you mentioned, like there's so much emotion. You're reminded why this sport is so great, but you also are reminded that when the Yankees and the Red Sox go up against each other, like that's a rivalry, and it may not always be a great one, but it's still like there's always a storyline involved. And this kind of puts everything into perspective in just a few seconds. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about perspective, and the emotional honesty,
yeah,
and openness. Because, like, mm-hmm, I think a lot of times when you film yourself doing something, it's like the performative version of yourself.
Right.
It's not
right.
the real version
yes,
of yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas
right.
this, you captured that real guy's real emotions and all the real emotions of everybody around him. It should be in MoMA. It should be a piece of art chronicling the human experience.
This is truly what I say when, I mean, as an ex-theater major yourself, Dakota, you also probably know this is,
well,
you know, I would talk to people a lot and that I went to school with, and I explain what I do now, and some of them are like, oh, well, blah, 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 sports aren't whatever that interesting. But I think that this video alone proves.
Who are these people? Names.
No naming names, but that this video alone proves that there is, you get a lot out of these moments, even if it's sadness. Like, there is this great deal of emotional investment in there. And like you said, there's no way that this guy could have predicted that. Like, I'm sure that if he had struck him out, there would have been a reaction there that was emotionally honest as well. Perhaps it wouldn't have been as
right.
startling to us, but it was still there, you know? And that's what's so incredible is the depth to which it affected this man. It's really incredible. And to see that all play out right in front of your eyes on something that you never could have predicted. You could not have guessed that would happen. Because obviously, like, even if he had, like, singled or whatever, the reaction wouldn't have been that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a testament mm-hmm. to why sports are exciting to people and why they can matter and why they can touch us in these ways. Even though, unlike many videos that we describe that way, it's not necessarily happy or inspiring.
No, but
that's
does.
Not the mm-hmm. point. That's not the point.
I think that's why it went viral, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where people saw it and they're like, that's me,
yes.
and retweeted it.
Yes. I will say, I also did see Chapman give up a home run in the Subway Series last night.
Wow.
A guy who does not give up very many home runs, but...
Jess, when was the last time sports made you cry tears of sadness, not just tears of joy? Or tears of joy?
Oh, that one's super easy, is when Josh Donaldson went to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
That literally made me cry, which was weird. I mean, like, being an A's fan, it's super humbling. That's the nicest word I could use. But, you know, you can't get attached. But I was genuinely shocked. And I remember looking over at, like, a friend of mine thinking, like, oh, my gosh, this is heartbreaking. So that, you know, especially because on the A's, you know, they go and then they leave so quickly. But I really thought Josh Donaldson at least was going to be there for 3 or 4 years, you know. So that really, I think that was what ultimately, that really broke my heart. I think that's the last time I cried tears of sadness.
Yeah. Gemma, aww. What about you?
I think I've even tried to answer this on the pod before.
Probably.
The last time.
I'm fascinated by
cry.
This.
I don't remember what I said the last time. So you can go back and check, I guess, but I think I don't really, like, get that emotional over sad things. I just get really withdrawn.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. like, so when the Tiger went, so David Ortiz Grand Slam game, whatever, but when the Tigers were out of the ALCS, I was bartending and everyone at the bar was like, are you going to be okay? And I just, like,
it's
had
the
to
best
go
place to be upset.
Yeah. I had to go sit in the kitchen and I just, like, took this bottle of whiskey back in the kitchen and I went and sat in the kitchen for like 20 minutes. But I don't remember crying. I get kind of emotional at, like, the Olympics or people's stories, you
yeah,
know.
I'll cry like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, or I sometimes I cry when I see other athletes cry,
yep.
like when France
oh,
was out
yeah.
of the World Cup and Griezmann broke down on the pitch just, like, sobbing. I cried a little bit for him, and also just, you know, if I see someone else feel emotions, I got, like, a little teary when Jim Leland cried in the WBC. That made me teary. Mm. Yeah. What was yours?
Yeah, I don't. Tears of sadness with sports don't happen for me. It's definitely like it's the just like heightened emotion. Like I cried when the Cubs won the World Series.
Uh-huh.
Like that was just mm-hmm. one of those moments where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this actually happened.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I guess probably David Ortiz's last game.
Oh yeah.
Maybe you could maybe classify those as tears of
sadness.
I'll
probably cry if some actual deal happens with Verlander and the Astros. But...
yeah, that's. I don't think I was sad.
Oh yeah.
I was happy that it happened. I wasn't sad that it was ending.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the way.
How
I was.
Inspiring.
Thank you.
Well,
that's
we all
the way.
Need to film our reactions this postseason.
We
to
definitely
all of
should do that.
Things.
We should just constantly
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. Want to win your fantasy league this year? Whether you're playing a 10-team head-to-head league against your friends or a 20-team expert dynasty format or a 12-team crazy league based on linear weights where my boss is beating me, I'm totally, totally hypothetically, Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you the edge. Last week's episode broke down fantasy angles for a few recent call-ups like Dom Smith and Reese Hoskins, plus named a few ace caliber arms available at rotation filler prices. Before you set your lineup or hit the waiver wire, subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on Apple Podcasts today. That's Fantasy 411 podcast. Type that into Apple Podcasts and click subscribe. So our very own Chris Landers, he got in his car. He drove all the way from Austin, Texas to the patent office in Washington, D.C. And
sounds real.
This is a real story that happened. And he spent years of his life, 25 years of his life, reading through old baseball patents to come up with the 10 craziest baseball patents he could find. That is a real story.
Yep.
If you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see the fruits of that labor in his post. I think it's called like the 10 craziest inventions ever in baseball history. There's some weird ones in there. There's like a cage where the ball hits that the catcher wears and the ball hits it and it closes. There was a robot umpire system. It's crazy. Go check it out. There are diagrams. If you're
it's
a nerd,
really fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm a massive nerd. I loved it. My question to the two of you, if you could invent something for baseball, either for fans, for the game, for the broadcast, what would be your invention, Jess?
So the one that I did like, and I don't know if this is even a thing, because I was like, this seems too obvious, like this should actually be taking place, is one of those, you know how like when you're going to Alcatraz or something, you can pay to like look at binoculars to see, you know, through, like they're kind of gross because they're all covered in bird poop, but I feel like they should have those more often at games. You just like put a dollar in and you could actually see, you know, the stubble on Justin Verlander's chin, if he even has any, but you know, just something like that. I would kind of like that idea. That was for the fans. But
so you were inspired by prison
and bird feces.
Prison and bird poop, that's where my mind goes like all the time. So I kind of like that idea just because like I have really bad eyesight, so mm-hmm. I just look like I'm angry all the time, but really I'm just trying to see things. And so I feel bad, like I'll be at the gym and somebody walking by like, wow Jess, like are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just can't see the TV, bro, like that's all. And so that's kind of where I kind of like that one for the fan. But as far as for the players, like I've noticed, like I always feel bad for the first base coach who has to hold all the gloves, all the elbow pads and like everything. So I feel like they should have like a cubby like hidden somewhere like on second base or first base or third base where they get there and they can like hide them in there and somehow it miraculously winds up back in the dugout or something like that. Just because like it does take some time out of the game. I don't really mind that part, but I always have so much sympathy for the first base coach who's like holding all this stuff, like the person who can't ride the ride because they have to hold all the purses for people. But it's still really bad for that person. So something like that was what kind of I came up with.
I like that. That's
I like
good.
That. I like that it would be like a pneumatic tube system, like under the base
yes.
or whatever. You just drop it in, and then like other stuff could come out, like a refill of double bubble or whatever it is that
right.
you need out there.
Right. Or a cute little, like an inspirational quote.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
Nice.
That's
yeah. I mean, then we have a really great Cut 4 moment when like a bird gets stuck in there and then shoots out and flies into the air.
So the Cut 4 cast today is about prison and birds dying in pneumatic
tubes. No, it's not going to die. It's going to shoot out and fly away.
Okay.
The one that poops on the binoculars you pay $1 for.
This isn't real. It's our imaginary world. So the bird lives, Dakota. The bird lives.
Gemma, what is your invention?
Okay, so mine is not as good as Jess's. It's mostly fan based because I've been to a couple games over the past week because I went back to Michigan and then my dad's here, so we went to some games and I was at one point just holding three glasses and like a chicken bucket on my arm.
Sure.
As
we had chicken bucket. I don't think we talked about that.
We went
to the Yankee game together. Yeah. We had chicken buckets.
Yeah, you had your own. I split one with Jordan.
Well, you don't need to blow up my spot like that.
No, it's only because I didn't think I could eat all the fries.
is what it is. Yeah. Anyway, you were saying.
Okay, so we got the chicken bucket, and then my friend also got the chicken sliders and fries. So we had all the fries and food, whatever. And we got two free beers with our tickets. So we had so much stuff. And I know they make all those trays, but we were standing room, so we couldn't really put them anywhere. And I do a lot of games standing room. I mean, not like all the time, but I like...
Low-key, that's the best way to play
baseball. Yeah. Well, we watched the whole game from behind home plate.
Yeah.
Like us and some cops. That's who was there. And it was really fun. And we were
and
just
you
like
feel
standing
there. Into it. And it's great.
Yeah. So I needed some kind of like surface upon which to rest all of these things because I had nothing. So Dakota also showed me this ridiculous like piece of knitwear a while ago. Of a guy or a person, unclear, whatever, a person on a plane with like a knit scarf that actually engulfed their computer and their head and their hands and their keyboard so you couldn't see them. And it was like obviously an attachable object. So I was thinking of some kind of like jersey tray or whatever. I think it would have to be a jersey.
Ooh.
But like
with like buttresses.
Yeah, and the bottom of it could like unfold. Like
an airline tray.
Yes, like an airline tray, but on the jersey. Okay. And it could have like pouches for when you go to standing room games.
You could bring. Yes. You could have condiments.
Yes, that would actually be really good. Yeah, yeah, condiments and napkins and all the stuff that you needed. But then you could like rest your glass on it and stand at the same time.
That's good.
Yeah, that's my invention.
You have to stand pretty still.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you probably, like us, we got the chicken bucket, and then we got extra fries and more chicken, so you probably shouldn't have gotten all those
things.
A lot
of food.
But
how dare you? You should always get extra chicken.
See?
Always.
She was just making fun of me for getting my own chicken bucket, okay?
Oh, well, the chicken bucket
Dakota,
is great.
You're an independent man who don't need any help finishing your chicken bucket.
Exactly.
Do not even
Thank
be
you.
Upset.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm
That's
glad
exactly.
somebody
Wonderful.
Finally understands. So my invention's here. The first thing I thought of, and this is literally the very first thing I thought of when I heard of this concept, is there's an episode of Flight of the Conchords, excellent HBO show, mm-hmm. where Brett invents a helmet that looks like his hair that he can wear while he bicycles.
Ooh.
And I was thinking that would be a great invention, a batting helmet or a baseball cap with your hair on top. It looks like your hair. Because sometimes these guys grow like mohawks and stuff and you just never see it because mm-hmm. they're always wearing a helmet or a hat. So that would be a great way of showing off their follicular style in a way that we can all see. So that was the first thing I thought of. But then in this conversation, I thought of a second thing that I think might be even better.
Wait, is the hat... So the hat's not... The batting helmet isn't clear. It just has their hair...
Yeah, no, it's like a... It's like... Pasted
like a
on
wig?
Top, sort of like a wig. Only
okay, but
instead of the
okay.
bottom
on top,
part
okay.
of the wig,
it's the batting helmet.
The batting helmet.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like those hats with like a fake, like mullet or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My second idea is in the space program, NASA, when they would send astronauts to the moon, they couldn't memorize everything they had to do when they were on the lunar surface, and they couldn't just carry a clipboard with them wherever they went. So they had a thing on their cuff. It was like a little mini binder with like a little checklist of all their stuff. And so they'd put it up. It looked like a binder clipped to their wrist, uh-huh. and they would just sort of flip through it. So you could give those to the outfielders so that they could know where to position themselves better. And they could put little like magazine articles in there so that when it's boring and there's no balls being hit to them, they could just read, you know, something from the New Yorker and just like have a good time in the outfield. And then they could come back and, you know, they could be like, oh, did you see that really interesting piece on like climate change? And like that would be really cool.
So Apple Watches, but with
the analog, analog Apple Watch.
Yeah, I actually think that's great. That's a really good idea.
Thank you.
Yes.
At Rob Manfred. I'm sure you're on Twitter.
Done.
That's mine.
Then we can have space age technology in the outfield.
We already do. It's called StatCast.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Is this a seg, or is Petriello going to like burst out of your chair and start telling us things?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on here to our final topic, which is that the Little League World Series, everybody's second favorite World Series, is here this weekend. It's beginning. And we saw a Maine Little Leaguer named Richie Gilboy, who introduced himself by saying, "Hi, I'm Richie Gilboy. I take big daddy hacks." We saw another kid who, under the fun facts about him, we saw that he likes to look at memes before games to get himself fired up. My question to the two of you is this. Jess, we'll start with you. If you were a Little League World Series participant, if you came out onto the field, what is your introduction like? What would be a fun fact about you? Who's your favorite baseball player? What's your personal motto? Anything along those lines. Jess, give us your intro.
So I actually made All-Stars in Little League. I was the first girl ever to do it in my Little League.
Wow.
So I've actually been asked this question when I was like 12. My answers have since changed. But, you know, it was really cool because we thought we had like this great team. Really, we were awful. But it was just like, you know, when you're that age, you just think you're the best thing ever, right? So, and we made fun of one of my pitchers because he had so many pitches, which was weird at the age of 12, but for some reason he did it. And he actually went on to play college ball, so he was good. But we actually had these discussions, so I'm actually really excited for this little segment. But I have a feeling I would go on after Mr. Big Daddy Hack, or probably before, depending on what the vibe was, and just basically be like, "Well, I'm Jessica Kleinschmidt, and my job is to get on base so he can continue to do his Big Daddy Hacks and score an extra run." Or something along the lines of self-deprecation, because I'm really good at that. If you can't make fun of yourself, somebody else will kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And I'd probably put my favorite player, Mitch Haniger. Mike Trout would be the easier one, but I feel like that'd be so redundant kind of deal. But I love Mitch Haniger to Reese's Pieces. And a fun fact, this is going to sound really random, but I know it's actually physically impossible. I've always wanted to be in a boy band.
What would be your boy band archetype?
You know what? I don't know, because like, you know, half the time I'm sporty, but the other half I'm super like weird. So I don't really know. I'd be kind of like a mixture of a bunch of things, and that's what I was thinking of, like, because, you know, girl groups are one thing, but I've literally always wanted to be, like, I feel like it'd be, like, the Chris Kirkpatrick of a boy band. Like, I'm definitely not Justin Timberlake material, but there are still some girls that would think I was cute type of deal. Mm-hmm. So maybe kind of, like, that type of atmosphere. I'm not really sure.
That is great.
That is a great fun fact. I would see you, and I would cheer specifically for you as a player. Yes. Be like, yes.
Yes, she's my favorite.
Yep, that's how it would go.
Gemma, what is your intro? What is it like? Give me the highlights.
Well, I was watching a little bit of the like playing tournaments over the weekend. Also, congratulations to the Gross Point Woods team from Michigan, who will be at the Little
Such
League World
homer.
Series. I am. Yes, that's true. I am.
Unbelievable.
So they'll be there, which will be fun. But so a while ago, when everybody knows this because we talk about it every single year, but Todd Frazier was on the Thomas River Little League World team, whatever. So when my first year here, I found a clip of it that was on YouTube that we have on our site now, and it listed his height and weight when he was a Little Leaguer, which is my current height and weight. So
that really puts it all in perspective.
So when I say I am actually the size of a 12-year-old boy, like, it's true, 12-year-old Todd Frazier.
You should just say that from now on. I'm the size of 12-year-old Todd Frazier.
So that would be my fun fact when I came
up. Twitter bio. Yeah.
That's true. You should make that your Twitter bio.
Yeah, you should.
That's good.
So that would be my fun fact. And then my favorite player, I would probably say, is Ichiro or Yu Darvish. I don't know. All the kids are like, "Follow me on Snapchat. Here's my Instagram handle."
2017.
Yeah,
2017, man.
I know. But they say it with
Day, they were like, "I like Pac-Man."
I know. And they say it with the serious little kid voice because they've just watched 1,000 pressers already in their life. So they're like, "Hi, I'm Richie Gilboy, my favorite athlete is."
I just take one game at a time.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
My favorite athlete is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, that's how it is. I'm like, why are you so serious? You're a child.
My favorite athlete is my coach, my manager.
Yeah. But that's what I think mine would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The Little League World Series is a lot of fun. I went last year with my dad up to Williamsport, and it was pretty great.
I need to go one of these.
Yeah.
These years we're sending Jake and George Cespedes Family Barbecue.
They're actually on a team.
Got. Yeah. Yeah, we're sending them so that they can join up with the team. Yeah. They'll be good.
What would yours be?
They're some of the younger members of the club.
What's your intro?
I would probably say my favorite player, maybe Clayton Kershaw or Mookie Betts. Uh-huh. I would say a fun fact about me is that I run an underground street racing circuit, and my life motto is that I live life a quarter mile at a time. That would probably be my intro.
You want to be viral so bad.
You know,
the
I would
kid
go
with
viral.
The little screen grab, terrible. Do you remember that one kid that one year? His name was Blake Money, and his little brother's name was Cash Money. And
oy.
That was the kid who went viral from Little League World Series.
Yeah, this year it's all about Big Daddy hacks.
Oh, that team didn't make it.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter. That meme will live
he
on.
He has
forever.
A future. He has a future in something.
The question is, will the kid who looks at memes before he plays look at the Big Daddy hacks meme before he plays, and will that like just then that'll bring them to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very
the
exciting.
Actual World Series against the Nationals.
They'll just somehow going to get to play. Yes. There's going to be...
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a nutty thing, man.
It's going to be like that Cristiano Ronaldo body swap commercial, but it's going to be that child in Bryce Harper's body.
Again, this is a soccer podcast. Yeah. Never lose track of that.
That was about Bryce Harper. I brought it back.
All right, we are running out of time, which means that it is now time to summarize our podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. I actually have a couple.
Whoa.
From last week's pod that I would like to read to you. The first one here comes from at Brave Stats, and it is, again, unofficial at Brave Stats, friend of the pod at Brave Stats. In the game of throws, you win or you lose or tie. You are now listening to the podcast to be named later. Hashtag cut forecast. Hashtag where's Gemma?
Aww.
So
hi, at Brave Stat. That was very nice.
That
also
was very sweet.
I regret that we didn't ask you when we started this podcast 100 plus episodes ago, because podcast to be named later is an
it's
excellent
a way better
podcast
name than the
title.
Cut forecast. We blew it. We totally blew it. And then here's one from at Amanda L. Berman, another friend of the pod. The dude cast, aka the bro hashtag cut forecast, was surprisingly emotional this week. Also, can we make a Jake's dad alarm clock at Cespedes BBQ at cut four? So, yeah, that should be an alarm clock.
Yeah, it seems like it should.
His dad, I desperately want to meet his dad. You met his dad.
No,
meet his dad. He met your dad.
Yes, he met my dad. Yes, my dad is in town right now. Yeah. And he went to trivia and met Jake and Jordan, and it was a riot.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you both for those tweets. If you have tweets that accurately and adequately summarize our podcast, please tweet them at us at cut4 with the hashtag cut4cast. But we must come up with our own. Jess, what have you got?
Okay, so this was actually way more difficult than the last one I was on. I don't know why. So I have, if it makes Gemma feel better, I'm still the same size as I was when I was 12. Inventions are very difficult to come up with, but at Rob Manfred. And then I don't know.
That was good. It kind of plateaued there and then went into decline like Rome at the end. But it was good.
It's really good. Because I feel like it's the beginning of a weird thread where you just tweet at Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
Like just your thoughts.
And people are like waiting for like the next one, but I never tweet like anything else after that.
Ever. It's the only tweet on
Ever.
The account.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
okay, Gemma, what is yours?
Live episode of the hashtag cut forecast where we record our reactions to all of Giancarlo Stanton's at bats.
That's good.
Thank
That's
you.
That's really good. That's way better than mine. Okay, mine is
I should have done hashtag chicken bucket also.
Yeah.
The live reaction of Giancarlo Stanton watching the Little League World Series, quote, live life a quarter mile at a time, close quote.
Banned from Twitter.
Those are all terrible. You guys are much better at these than we are, so please tweet them at us, at cut4 with the hashtag cut4cast. We'll retweet the best ones. We'll read the best ones here on the Cut Four Cast. Go ahead and do that. You can go to MLB.com/cutfour to read all of the stories that we talked about today and many, many, many more that we didn't have time to get to today. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cutfour. All of our articles go there, and Mark Zuckerberg personally reads through them all and decides which ones are the best for you.
True.
You can go to Twitter, follow us there at @cutfour. That's always a blast. If you have any questions, cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. We will help you with all of your life quandaries, whatever they may be. Bad relationship issues that you want to help sort out. Which jersey should you buy? What country should you move to? These are all questions that we all wonder all the time, and we can help you with those. This is a podcast. You can go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, type in Cut Four Cast if you've just stumbled upon this episode in the wild, and you can subscribe to us there. While you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. You can actually write a review if you don't know of what you want to write for the review, if it's too overwhelming, if you're in the middle of driving to a Pirates game and you're just like, I can't look at my phone, I'm driving, then just hand it to your passenger in the car and ask them to type the name of their favorite baseball player.
What was that hypothetical?
It's a hypothetical. I don't know. That might be your life. Jess, thank you for joining us on the Cut Forecast.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Always a blast.
Gemma, thank you as always for being here.
I returned.
But mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.